All right, thank you. Well, good evening, and the Lord bless you. As Brother Bob said, it's true. I am glad to be here, but not under the conditions. I am here, which is I picked up a cold in Louisiana. And the reason I get colds is because I do two things that are very naughty, which the brethren usually compel me to do, seeing I'm weak in nature, is to overeat and to undersleep. And every time I get sick. However, I still maintain that my genial stand, that if this is a squeeze, may I endure 2,000 more years with good health. In other words, there's nothing really bad at all. In fact, I write a little note in the paper tonight. This doctor's a pretty smart fellow because he agrees with me. And, yeah, because they're scientific. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that he said in his paper that colds are beneficial because people don't rest and it gives them a chance to rest. And I found that to be my experience, being not just kind of nervous, but nervous. I really don't actually relax until I get very sick. And then when I get very sick, I can relax because there's nothing else to do. Because you're too sick to do anything else, so you relax. And actually, you can, sound kind of nuts, but you can get better by being sick. The doc's right. I hope you caught that. So now, from now on, when anybody gets a cold, it's good for you. So you take it easy. Stay home and work. You got the unions to back you on this. You might have to get a doctor to do it. But. So that's another case of all things working together for good, especially those who are in the Lord. Now, the messages hopefully will sort of come together, at least three of them. I always used to preach series, and I don't preach series anymore. I kind of kid myself in preaching a series and get the people looking, and then by the time I've gone, they're too late to catch up with me. And I didn't kind of serialize that thing or something, but it is sort of in a series, three of them, and then we'll see what happens on Tuesday, and then we'll see what happens on Wednesday. I'm not under any great expectation to find out what's going to happen. I think I have my notes in order. But, I mean, I don't know just what messages I'm going to use. So tonight I want to bring a message based on, I don't know if you can call it based on, but except in the sense I was reading Brother Branham's message on Christ as a mystery God revealed, which is one of the really great messages. And I was reading some of the things he said about a portion of Ephesians, which is, very necessary for this hour, because we're winding up, you know, winding down or winding up, whichever you want to put it, all the ages. And so I want to speak on Ephesians 1, 3 to 6. And before I read it, shall we just bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, once more we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ for this most serious part of the service, Lord, because if we are going to say something which is not true, then it is a fact that you cannot back it up and nothing could come of it. It would not be edifying. It could be actually merely man supposing or presuming rather than man believing and assuming the position that is in that word. And Lord, we don't want to presume to assume to anything. We want to really assume the position by the word of Almighty God giving us that authority and right. And then not turning away from it. So may our hearts be moved tonight to see ourselves in Christ as perhaps you've never seen ourselves before. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It's really in the heavenlies in Christ. "According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now, as I said, we want to sort of study this based a little bit on how Brother Branham expounded some of this in Christ as a Mystery God Revealed. And on page 29, beginning, he said, "Heavenly places." What are heavenly places? Well, he said, heavenly places is the believer's position in Christ. Then he reiterates, where the believer stands in Christ is heavenly places. And I like what he said, where the believer stands in Christ. Now, there's nothing here about Christ giving a person a standing and then walking away from it. You can't walk away from it. It's irrevocably consigned to Christ. So what he said, the believer's stand in Christ is what is good there, is heavenly places. They must be in Christ. All right, going on quoting. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You notice again, there's stipulation. There's something binding the contract. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's the way it's got to be according to that original. Now, he says, when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world, when his great hidden mystery, his great secret. Now, you know how Brother Branham can chop his words off without finishing his sentence. What he was actually saying here, before the foundation of the world, when his great hidden mystery, his great secret was actually formulated, because he's talking of the foreknowledge. Now, going on, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And you'll notice in there that he's linking together as he should foreknowledge and predestination, which they cannot ever be separated. Predestinated, he says, there's the mystery. See, before Christ or anything else was on earth, you see his great mystery, that he chose the bride, knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing she would fall. But he would choose a bride that would not fall. Now watch it, and get the understanding of why. But he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. Now you notice he doesn't say do about it. He says say about it. Now keep reading. They would hold to that word. Now listen, I'm going to watch carefully saying, now he's quoting again. They were predestinated. Now remember he talked about predestination up here. Now he said predestinated to stand there, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Predestinated the church to that glorious stand. Now, so you haven't, I haven't muffed it by talking or read again to you. Knowing she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They were predestinated to stand there. Stand where? With that word. Is he going to hold to it? Because the fall is not standing with the word. Now I'll read again. They were predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that glorious stand. Now you're putting the two together now, what the predestination is all about? In other words, there's something. Look, as there is... no such things as a means to salvation. Like the hard shell said, well, I'm going to be there without being born again. He isn't going to be there without being born again. He's got to go through the born again process. So there's something in the predestination that people must look for. And it's the stand for the word. See, now he said, now do you see the secret? What to? To restore fallen Eve. And she was a prefigure of the church. Now notice, as God opened up the side of Adam and took out Eve, by his own flesh and blood, and divided his spirit from masculine to feminine, to put the feminine Eve, took the rib from under his side and made Eve out of it. So God did the same thing, taking out of the side of Christ the blood and the water, Christ is the word, and taking the word and making up his church, Eve, see? Back again to himself, again redeemed by the blood drawn from his body. You see it now? God's great mystery being unfolded, that's been hid since the foundation of the world, but prefigured it all the way down through. Now what he's telling us here, the great mystery of the entire theme of the Bible, is Christ redeeming back a bride to himself. The entire theme of the Word of God, see?
There's no noise recording.
No.
Why not?
Is there two problems on there?
What's turning?
I'm wasting up any recording day. Well, I'm saying they better, because it's turning, it has to record. You want testing, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 1, testing, rewind, testing.
She cannot stand on creeds. She cannot stand in nomination. She cannot stand on good behavior. She has to stand alone on the Word of God.
Amen.
Because she's part of it. She was taken from or out of Christ. Now, if you look at this thought here, he says she has to stand alone on the Word. He is not saying she has to stand alone, separated over here. He's saying all she's got to stand on is the Word. It's the Word alone. It's not Eve alone out here in the boondocks. You follow me? It's the Word alone he's talking about. You got to watch a man's language, because if you play, you put a phrase someplace where it doesn't belong, you mismess the whole thing up like that, see? Quoting again, and to be sure that the whole rapture now, Luther was a part, Wesley was a part, just in the revelation, they were making up the body, feet, toes, arms, and so forth, until we get to the head, that makes the entire rapture. Notice, until we get to the head. Remember we talking about Bob? That makes the entire rapture. It's the body of the Word, which is Christ. In other words, the bride is the body of the Word, which is Christ. See, in other words, Christ, the Word, has a body. And it's flesh. Outside of that, you're lost. I don't care how good you are, or what your relationship is, or what your fellowship is, or what your organization is, you're lost outside of that Word being in you, which is Christ the Word, see? All right. Now, with that little preamble there, different thing Brother Brand said, we're going to go back and talk about this, and we go to verse 3. And it said, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, of course, this is literally, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, by our union with Christ, by our joining together with Him. See, now let's analyze it. And I have my own means of taking care of the Greek, because I just go to the root words and I can find, become a better understander of this word than the theologians can. All right, first of all, the word blessed means prospered, made happy, even as Jesus is the Son of Prosperity. Exactly what should we be in union with Him except prospered and blessed, right? Because He's the Son of Prosperity, and we are like Him. We also show our prosperity because the bride is going to be in the millennium, right? Do you follow me? All right. Now, spiritual blessings. We go a little deeper in our analysis. The word spiritual is non-carnal, supernatural, regenerate. In other words, you cannot have this by your natural birth. There is nobody can give it to you. Anything in the world is destitute of it. In other words, it stands all alone. You've got to get it from another source, and the source is supernatural. So therefore, the blessings are supernatural blessings. They are not those of the earth here, for they will all pass away. There is something which is supernatural in its eternality. And again, the word regenerate shows you, unless you're in Christ, born again. We're on a plane which are distinctly above us and beyond us, except somebody gives it to us, right? Okay, the word blessings come from two words. The one word we get our word hermeneutics from, which to interpret or to translate. And believe it or not, the second part of the word is logos, which is the very same word Christ. The logos means something including the thought. Same as logos is used in Christ. Together, it can be translated, according to the translators, fine speaking, commendation, blessing. But don't forget the basic meaning of the words. In other words, there is in here the revelation of Christ is included. That's why Brother Bannon kept harping on it, not knowing one word of the Greek. It must include that which was in him. So therefore, we are talking about that which is in him. Now, for a surprise definition of what the scripture really said. Now listen carefully. Where it says, blessed be the God and Father, and so on. Now watch. Adored and be praised the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath prospered us and made us most happy by pronouncing in his supernatural benediction upon us all that was in the Word, and revealing and imputing it to us, because we have a right to it through our union with Christ. Now remember, when we have been prospered, it means that as far as the kingdom was concerned, here in our physical flesh, we were as beggars on the dung heap. Yep. And he takes the beggar from the dung heap and he makes him a king. See? Scripture. That's plumb scripture. I don't care what everybody says. That's plumb scripture. See? So, the Father verbally, now listen, the Father verbally glorifies the bride by means of the Son, because she is united and joined as one with him who is all the Word. Yeah. I better read that again, Bob. Okay, now this is Levail interpreting from the Greek. And I'm a better student than the Greeks, because I have the Holy Spirit. And I have a prophet who helped me.
Amen.
So, I'll challenge you to prove me wrong.
Right.
There's no Greek student living. If I had Dr. Hoyer here, that I consider the greatest student living, he'd bat me right to the hill, as he did on serpent seed. He and his wife went home that night. They talked all night long about it. He said, Brother Babe, you are right. Of course I am right. According to the prophet. Okay. Now, blessed be the God and Father. You see it? After his fine speech, adoration, adulation, adored and praised be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath prospered us and made us most happy. How? By pronouncing in his supernatural benediction upon us all that was in the Word, and revealing and imputing it to us, because we are united to Christ. The Father verbally, now this is true, the Father verbally glorifies the bride by means of the Son, because she's united and joined as one with him who is all the Word. Going further, as he was heavenly and she was once earthy, now the carnal is obliterated, and all that he was as heavenly is now her position. Here's her. See? Okay. We'll go back to, we'll go to John, the third chapter, Gospel, and we proceed to read. 31 to 36. He that cometh from above is above all. That takes care of that. Now, we didn't come from above. We're in his thoughts. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now, you got a little key there. And this is exactly what I said in my opening statement. Spiritual is non-carnal, regenerate, supernatural. Tells you right here. It shows the contradistinction of the two. If you want to get out of the one or the other, you've got to be born into it. He that cometh from above is above all. He that's of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receives his testimony. Now watch the apparent contradiction here. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Now hold it. In one place he says nobody listens. The next place he says somebody listens. Now, you know there's only one way that you could qualify for statement number two about listening, is to get the pronouncement of God in what Ephesians 1 and 3 said. Huh? You follow me? You know? Oh, sure you follow me. I'm not talking to school children anymore, babies. We're way beyond when 15 years ago, you know, 14 years ago when there were 13, for sure when the prophet left us, see? Did you get what I read? Now, remember that what I quote my little dissertation was on what to be blessed in heavenly places. Breaking it down, the spiritual is non-carnal, supernatural, regenerate. And it's in Christ. So therefore, you would have to be taken from one place to the other place in order to qualify. And it says the same thing here. See? And no man receiveth his testimony. Then it says, he that hath received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. What in God is true what? In other words, this people accepts what God has said about them through Christ.
Amen.
You follow me now?
Amen.
Or should I have to read my little thing again? No, I won't have to read it again. Now watch. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth him not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, here, we look at the Apostle Paul that said this thing. You accept what the Apostle Paul said, what William Branham said, and of course if you're another age, you'd accept what they said, on the grounds that God sent them to tell you about yourself in Christ. You see? Now, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And what do you got if you're in him? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son that shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, this is the key, here this verse, the last one I read, as to whether you're in Christ or not. See, and we'll elaborate a little later on to show you something. All right. We're further going to see this same position in Christ in Ephesians, the second chapter, and in verse 6. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. She's positioned in him. In other words, it doesn't much matter what she's been. Everything she is now is in him. She is spoken of as in him, and they are said to be one, as in John 17, 20 to 26. So, we go there. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Then it's going to be one word, because you can't believe several words and get anywhere. That's why Brother Branham said this message is no different from any other message. But as Wesley eclipsed Luther, and Pentecost eclipsed Wesley, so does this message come with a fuller revelation. Uh-huh. They may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou sent me, and thou hast loved me, love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may be, hold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou sent me. See, that goes back to John 3 again. There's somebody did something about believing somebody's words. See? And that's why they're in there, and that's why this is all imputed to them, given to them. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare that the lover which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You'll notice in there he said that thou hast loved me, that the lover which thou hast loved me may be in them. You see, in other words, there is no such thing as reflecting back any love to God, true love, unless Christ is in the individual. Now, this prayer, of course, has been answered and is yet to be answered, because part of this, no doubt, will take place at the white throne when the bride is presented to the whole world. Now, you'll see from this scripture here that the only identification the bride has is he who is the Word. She does not have any credentials of her own, nor does she have an identification of her own. That's why Brother Branham could say her stand is with the Word and not with any good thing she's ever done. See?
Right.
Now, I know this is pretty far, far fresh for if you read all the books of yesteryear, but you just stick with Brother Branham and you'll find this is right. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians 15, 45 to 49, and we're going to take a peek at the resurrection. And it says, as is written, so the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam made a quickening spirit. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam made a quickening spirit. Was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, after that which is spiritual. See, goes back to the word again, spiritual, non-carnal, see, supernatural, regenerate. The first man's the earth, the second man's the Lord of heaven. And as is the earthy, such are the altar earthy, and such is the heavenly, such are the altar heavenly. And as we've borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Know that the identification goes right into the resurrection. There's no identification outside the resurrection. See, because nobody will get in that first resurrection unless you will have his own flesh. Handle me and see a spirit in my flesh and bones. So you can see it follows you all the way into the resurrection and all the way beyond. So no wonder Brother Brown said that his meetings where Christ the revealed word went forth was heavenly places to the bride. Because she began to see her homeland, which was Christ already, because everything is in him, the word. Now, certainly it was, as Brother Branham said, because the message she preached vindicated the reality of our position, position in Christ, and where and what is he but the heavenly one in the heavenlies, and we in him and in union. Now, you can take this to John 3 and everything I've quoted up to this date. So, we'll look at some at what we are, or we'll look at where he is and we in him. We could do that. We can look where is he and we in him, which is to describe his characteristics, his assets, and so on. Okay. Ephesians 1:15-23. Wherefore also after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, loved all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what's the exceeding greatness of power to us who believe according to the working mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set his own right hand in heavenly place, the fire above all principality and powers and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not in this world, but the world that's just to come, and to put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. In other words, exactly what Christ has attained and risen to. The bride is fully co-equal with him under the understanding of Eve redeemed back to Eden. That's the one time male and female were co-equal. See? The co-equality will only come again under the conditions of the resurrection, which is set upon previous condition, which is to be in Christ. Okay, let's go to Colossians 1:15-18. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, of all creation? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things are maintained, and he is the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, there could not be an asset. Now let's face it, there can't be one asset, even though you follow this Bible legitimately, and do your dead level best as a Seventh-day Adventist or one of these people that believe the law and so on. There is no place where you can qualify outside of being in him. Because if you could qualify in one iota, he would escape the preeminence at one point. And Christ must be preeminent. We go to Colossians 2:9-15. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made of thy hands, in the putting off the body, the sins of flesh, by the circumcision of Jesus. There isn't any way you can get rid of sin except through Christ's death, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and some circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting ordinance which was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now I know there's everybody, all theologians, that want to take this and say, well now, you see, when Israel was back there with all their washings and divers things that, you know, that was a tedious chore, and God took it out of the way. That's a life in the pit of hell. He took away the Ten Commandments and the moral law. Not the ceremonial. He fulfilled the ceremony. That was only a shadow. You think I... Listen. Brother says, let's get right down to brass tacks. Here's a bunch of Israelites that love sin like a hog loves slop. And they live in sin. They go to the priest and say, take this little lamb here and cut his throat, bring the blood. I repent, Lord, and the blood covers. That was for them. That wasn't any law against them. That was what they had for them. Now, when you've got Christ for you, the moral law is completely blotted out. Not that a man entered into sin now, because he takes the desire out of the heart.
Amen.
See? That's what this is talking about, not some... These theologians, no wonder Brother Branham got sore. I'm the place where I'm sore to myself. I think they weren't too half bad at one time, and my Lord, how they love things up. He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of opening, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat and holy days and shadows and so on, those things here. Also, let's go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Way at the back, when the resurrection comes, the blessed holy seed that hath part in the first resurrection on such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, let's go back to our comparison. Now, we're going to take a comparison here of grace and filthy man. We go to Romans, the 5th chapter, and verses 17 to 22, and stripped by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Notice there's no reigning apart. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one man, the free gift came upon all men of the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. In other words, he's drawing a complete parallel here of what the one God is into, the other God is out of. Where one is bad, in comparison, the other is so much better, you can't even compare it. That as sin is reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ the Lord. Notice, in every single facet, it is Christ. The bride never rises to a place of habitual righteousness or right living, which is consciously given to her of God to be praised. Now, she'll get rewards, but she cannot stand in this place positioned in Christ anywhere except by free gift. See, there's no way. Now, going on to Romans 6:20 to 22. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have fruit of the holiness and the everlasting right. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, if you don't take that 23rd verse and line it up with the other verses above it, it seems like Paul is crying out against people who do naughty things. He's not. What he's showing you here is that through Christ, there is a new life. And there's a new way of living. See? Showing it's Christ again. There is no way out. Now, let's go on reading. 7th chapter. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak them that know the law, how that the law of dominion over the man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband is dead, she is loose to the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she is adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. Now it tells you right there flat, there is no way of anybody having any fruit that God even looks at outside you're in Christ. So, it doesn't matter where a person looks. God can only eulogize the bride in Christ. Doesn't matter what she produces. And sure, she should produce many things. But the production is in Christ. In other words, there is no eulogy, no praise, nothing said about the bride, except in her identification with Christ. See? Now, that's far as I want to read. That portion there. Now, yes, indeed, now, the heavenly places, or the heavenlies, by our union with Him, and all the good He is ours, fully identified, until we strike Galatians 2 and 20 and see the reality. And this is the reality, 2 and 20. I think you can quote it. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, and this spells substitution. You see, you are gone now from the simple phrase of substitute, of identification, to the truth of substitution. In other words, God doesn't even look at the bride. He looks plumb at Christ. And if she's so lucky to be in him, something good's going to be said. The placing, the whole bit falls upon him, so that when you read Scripture, salvation is of the Lord, it's true. And Christ, the mystery of God, revealed, redeeming ye back, is absolutely correct. So we go beyond identification, we understand substitution. Now, we're going to go back to the other verses of Ephesians again. And 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us all spiritual blessing in heavenly place. In other words, he praises and gives us glowing affection and commendation as he looks at Christ and sees our union in him, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Remember, the groom chooses the bride, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined unto adoption children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, we notice how 4 and 5 tells us the why and why verse 3 was accomplished. It gives forth here the fact that we were chosen before the foundation. We were predestinated to be holy without blame. And in love he placed us himself in order that this could be said concerning us. And not only is it said concerning us, but it is a reality. That's the beautiful part of it. So, verse 4 sets before us the time this all started. Now listen. It was before there was any physical creation at all. Therefore, that the word spoken depend upon the next phrase. For or because God gives not the Spirit by measure. Now to him, he was the fullness of the Godhead body, right? Therefore, when he spoke, God said, hear him, and in him was all of it. Because he had the Spirit without measure, he spoke. Right? But there's nobody outside of him can say that. That's why Brother Branham said, the measure of the Word is the measure of the Spirit. They're one. You follow me now? This, in my understanding, is the Bible, the Scripture that Brother Branham was using when he said that the measure of the Holy Spirit is the measure of the Word. And there was a measure of the Holy Ghost poured on every age, and it was justification one age, sanctification, baptism, but at the end time, the entire Holy Spirit, the entire Word was poured out, right here. Now, do you see where his quote came from the Bible? I'm just showing you this, brother, sister, because that man, William Branham, was a prophet of God. And I was very associated much one time with a brother. I thought he was real genuine all the way, true blue. But he said to a friend of mine up in Canada, he said, trouble you, Joe, that's my good buddy, the Hungarian preacher, Brother Joe Rhapsody. And you haven't got a spoken word book, have you? All right. This is a spoken word book. He held forward, he said, the trouble you, Joe, is that you make this on power of the Bible. Well, let me tell you flat, it's a spoken word your brother Branham brought is not the Bible. And why do you bother coming around, William Branham?
Amen.
I'm going to stick the knife in and turn it out. Is anybody here tonight? And I'm not going to hurt anybody's feelings, but I finally come to where I'm listening to Brother Branham ever since before, because I never could, in my heart, believe that every group would have believer, make believer, and unbeliever. But I'm sorry, I've given them. I'm not saying there's any unbelievers here, make believers, but I ain't going to say there ain't. So if you're sitting here as a make believer, you're welcome. We can't do without you. Because God said you'd be here. He said Satan will send a monkey. He sure does. So thank you. Have a nice time. God means it for good. See, I'm going to lay it right in the line. Because I'll not stand for anybody saying that what William Branham taught was not the Word of God when a stupid jerk like I am can find it right here in the Bible. And I didn't get it because I'm a brain.
I got it preaching this message, which was prepared roughly 2 years before God let me use it, because he knew until that hour I could not find the scripture that said God gave a portion of the Holy Ghost in justification, which is the word. And with it, I'm going to tell you the key that opened my eyes to everything was when Brother Branham said, the flesh of the Holy Spirit this hour is the word. So when the word came, unveiled, because the creeds and dogmas curtain was cut in two, we saw him in the word. So he's here. And now, the full word, Christ fully represented. Fully represented in a full bride. Up there. Fully in the measure of the word. Right up here. See? So that she can rise to here. And I can't put anything between here and I won't do it. Can't put anything here, brother, sister. Sorry. Because I don't believe anything else to come. If there's anything going to come, William Branham is going to have to come back and tell us in the first resurrection. And that doesn't bother me one little bit. Because he'll be here in the seventh church age group before number 6 even begins to peep above the ground. It might be 30 to 70 days or 120 days. Who cares how long? I'm not even interested. All I know is when he comes back, man, our ears are going to stand like elephant ears. I say, what was it like, Brother Branham? What was it like? So he said, don't worry about it. Now, and how was it all done? According to the good pleasure of his will, which is his word, perfect, can't add or take. That's why if you add or take, you'd ruin the whole thing. Okay? Now, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made up the chapter in the beloved. The plan finished, the work done, the revelation over, God fulfilled, and the bride completed. Christ is all in all. He did it, and it was all of God. Now, quoting. As Brother Branham said, God died in the flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeem that will believe only the word of God and not swap it like he did for intellectual conceptions of men. And in this day he proved it all. He proved we're part of that elect bunch that's gone on. Now we know there's an elect bunch gone on. How do you know you're part of it? Prove it to us. By a vindicated prophet he made it manifest. There is therefore no more room for doubt. The seals are broken. The mysteries before our eyes have been set forth. The seven thunders have brought the final word of God. We are only waiting for Jesus to come physically, and he doesn't come physically. We go to him to take us home. Going back to page 37 in the Christ mission God revealed, God has, now listen, God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Let's find out about that one. Well, it's the same scripture in John number 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on. Now, what's he talking about? He that is from above is above all. He that's of the earth is earthy. He that speaks of the earth, he that comes from him is above all. What he hath seen and heard, that he testified, no man receives his testimony. He that hath received his testimony, what God said, has put to his seal that God is true, has proved he's baptized with the Holy Ghost. So you've got your evidence of the baptism, of your rebirth. You believe the word. What word? That God said about you.
Amen, brother.
Right in here in Scripture. I'll tell you and I'll tell you again, there is nothing that Brother Branham preached but is in this word. The only thing is, he didn't identify it any place, leaving it to us in order to see for ourselves, because he said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word. And his statement here, God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. That's why he could say the rapture's a revelation. The new birth is a revelation. The whole thing is a revelation. Christ's church built of it. Then when you get here, there's only one place that goes up. There's only a lot of guys come along. You try to tell you, listen to them. See why I preach, and I've been down here several times, and I've got one ringing word of life. Don't you listen to anybody. No man can teach you. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came forth in a human form and taught us right in this age here. And listen, have an ear for the one who brought the message, which is William Branham. Don't worry, Brother Titch. You're going to get worse and worse. I can warn you all I want, but I'm afraid. Just afraid, that's all. People just don't want to hold words. But I'm going to tell you, those predestined will hold it. Now, Brother Brand keeps on going. Now, what are we going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing His Word by the same action, the same things He did, make the Word manifest? What are you going to do when you get a bunch of people believing the revelation of a vindicated prophet? Proves her in the rebirth, proves her in the bride. Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. I've been telling you. That's what this whole message is about. And my message tonight, you got to believe what God said about you. And when you come to the place where you believe what God said about you, your vindicated prophet at the end time, your bride, and ain't nobody going to take it because the very ministry proved it. Now, what do I need a minister to prove anything? Why do I need somebody else? You were given a five-fold ministry to break the very word down that Brother Branham gave without adding or taking from it or drawing a conclusion. I have not drawn one conclusion tonight. I have preached the prophet's message from his own word and the word of God defined in the Greek. Now, tell him, take it to the man to prove me wrong. You can argue all you want, but you can't prove it. Just what the prophet said is here in the book. That's going to go. Now, I hope we see it. We were in Him the Word, and we are now in Him the Word. We are in union with Him who is the Word. We are accepted in Him who is the Word. We are redeemed by the blood of the Word. We are blessed and praised and honored in Him who is the Word. It was all according to God's good pleasure, which is the Word. And if you can't identify with the Word, brother, sister, you've got a mongrel in you somewhere. I'm a mongrel. Now let us believe and surrender fully by faith to the Word, that the life might be manifested. Sure, that's what there is to it. In other words, the surrender to the Word simply is believing it. And it'll bear, and it will bear its own fruit. Sonship has been approved and God glorified. So therefore we must not be afraid, but by faith apply to ourselves individually and collectively as one body with no schism. See? Caring one for another, as we are appointed by Scripture to care for each other. We are now in heavenly places by our proven union with the Word. Not unproven anymore. What I said is not unproven. We're all waiting for some kind of proof, but it doesn't depend on proof because I'm believing who she is. Knowing her position to go, her position is right here, the Word's here, and this little group here, they're dying. By the time that the tyranny of the flesh rises, or just prior to the resurrection, there'll only be a very few people living up in this place here. Brother Ben said about 800, maybe. 700, who knows, who cares, really. What, even 7,000, what's that amongst billions? You know, we don't care, just a few. But we are at that point now, proving union with the Word, and as a part of the entire bride, we are now running our course, or our part of the course, of His plans for being in Him by foreknowledge, because there's a plan there to put us in. We're in it right now. And by foreordination, which is, you might say, part of foreknowledge, which is part of foreknowledge, and being brought back into Him by predestination, because it was all in the books and now it's being done. And the whole thing stands ready at this moment to be in a rapture. And Brother Brand said, all we need is here. Now, I'm going to close the reading. Brother Brand said further. Page 74. Then what is it? What is it? He's the head of the body, which is His church, the bride. Then the bride body must follow the head. For it is part of the resurrection and part of the mystery. It's impossible for it not to go. Oh my, it's part of God's mystery. Now the thing is, do we see ourselves as part of God's mystery? You got it? How God revealed Himself here and raised it up by the Word, so He reveals it in the church and raised it up by the same Word, it's part of His threefold mystery. As the head was taken from the grave, so must the body follow Him back to Eden. There's no thought here of a doubt. Remember, we're looking back on history and as a part of it. How it was done and what is being done. And we're making present history which can never go into a back look history. In other words, the Brother Branham said history cannot be written, the more you hear to write it. But we're making history just the same in the sense we're part of history, see? Now, and the head's been revealed and come back with eternal life, and the body must follow that because it's husband and wife again. He said. And as long as you're pregnated with the same word, which is his body, you took his body, become in him when you took the word. Not the creed, the word. Therefore the body cannot recognize any other headship but the word, because the head is connected with the body. And the head is the word, and it's the same word, one headship. Therefore denomination, holy fathers, everything else is dead to them. There's one headship, that's Christ. The body only recognizes one thing, the word. 76. He, the word properly vindicated, is the headship of the church. He's properly identified, vindicated by his own spirit, being in the church itself. The person showing forth himself in vindication is the direct proof to the entire body. In other words, the direct proof is what the ministry of Brother Branham had with that word of Almighty God. There isn't any other proof required. It's been proven. Then we are united one under one vindicated headship. That is Christ, the Word of God, not under any church. Then our headship is the kingdom. He said so. We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the Word of God made spirit and life in our own life, bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the Word and God were one. If you could believe what was back there before Calvary and during Calvary and the resurrection, and you get the same thing done again, or is it, it's got to be it. So you get the same thing. There is not two, there is one. We belong to the kingdom is the Word of God, made spirit and life in our own life, bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the Word and God were one. So back, you see. And the Word and God are one in the church today, making it the headship of the body that is redeemed to bring the message in the last days, and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection, and go back to restore again Adam and Eve in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Notice, united together under one headship is like a type of Israel of old, one God, vindicated by a pillar of fire, and revealed himself through a prophet to be the Word, the same God, same pillar of fire, same way he cannot change. Well, all right, we're right back where we were. Look at Aaron. One. Christ? Christ Jesus. One. Christ Jesus. It's all over. Didn't they build around him back there? Didn't they build around the same religion? So what are you building here, Brother Sidney? You're building back to the very same thing was here. So the cornerstone became a capstone here. Amen. In the Word. Now, you got it here as the flesh. And all this flesh rises to be in it. Now, where's your creeds and dogmas? Where's your men that rise up and say, listen to me? I know you guys might think that I've got a real strong, spirit. You think right. For a while, people thought I was jealous. Or they said, Brother Dale's jealous. On the face of it. I am not jealous of any man that says you listen to me. But I'm jealous. And I'll bring up the sword as the first guy and announce the attempt. You follow anybody you want, just don't try to follow me. I haven't preached you one thing to say, listen to me there. But I preached you everything that I could. And what the prophet indicated, just one little section, to show you that word lines up. The prophet did not talk out of his head. He talked right from this. Now, brother, sister, he said, the revelation is the rebirth. The evidence. Truth. And he said, when she knows her position, she'll go. But the bride could not know him who is the physician until Ephesians 1:15-23. And the revelation has come. He has been fully exposed. He has been judged. He has been crucified. The word has been sealed in. And the bride is totally sealed in and being sealed in because not one or two coming in. But the minute the trial training is over, she's got to step right up to here, not into him, but unto him. So it's all over. There you are. That's what it is to be blessed. And God can stand back now and see a bride that's all words, all Christ. And he can praise her, he can eulogize her, which could not be done if she stood on her own. You follow me? Okay, shall we wrap? Heavenly Father, we ask you now, Lord God, to take some of the gleanings that we have got out of your word tonight and help the people to put them together to see that this is the last hour, what the revelation is, why it's the rebirth, why these things are, how they must be, and to know their part of them. And one day, Lord, when we finally know you as you are, which is guaranteed in the Word, and we started on that little last journey to know it, the bride's going to be caught up off the earth because we're going to bring forth a resurrection, which makes the rapture mandatory. Lord, we know that the resurrection coming made it mandatory for the early and latter rain for a bride standing here. And now that we've got it, it makes mandatory the resurrection itself, which in turn makes mandatory the rapture, which in turn made that resurrection mandatory because there had to be one to bring us all up together to unite him. So therefore we see, Lord, a complete word acting, interacting, reacting to a completion where the whole thing is Christ. Forward, backward, in between. It's just one beautiful understanding of the revelation you had and you gave us when you foreknew a bride, which though she would fall, would be placed in Christ and therefore blameless and eulogized by you because every asset, every virtue, everything recognized was because of the headship, the Son. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. May tonight, Lord, the very spirit that prompted Brother Branham, which is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself, to bring forth this word to us. I pray, Lord, by union with the Holy Spirit within us, that we will rise to the same revelation, identification, in order that we too may have that tremendous understanding, that absolute mind-boggling and wisdom-defying revelation that the prophet had. I pray that, Lord, because looking at him, we could see that he was absolutely changed by the word that you gave to him and he brought to us. And I believe, Lord, now that that same word working up through the age is now able to put a bride not only in the resurrection but into rapture and we into a spiritual kingdom which we're going to come down to earth and enjoy though we're in it in this moment though people can't see it because the headship is here. And now, Lord, I pray that you have heard, I know, Lord, you've heard our prayers, and we know you've heard, we know that you're under obligation to answer, and we are under expectation, Lord, to see the revelation height. Until, my God, we know it is true, that when we do get this revelation the way you gave it, there is nothing that's going to hold us, and therefore the dead cannot be held, there has got to be a rest. Just exactly what the prophet said. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it. And under the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power, and honor and glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you.